It's Thursday, January 28th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Have I got a great show for you? It's my last show here in Florida. I am ready. I'm really ready to go home. Mama has a very long honey-do list for me so that I'll have my weekend pretty much occupied. I got a great show for you tonight, and yes, you're ready for me to get back to Honolulu as well. But before we do that, strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Jacksonville, Florida, via my portable podcasting studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And again, my name is Todd Cochran. And of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website as well. And of course, for all of the longtime listeners of the show, hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family here. And of course, I want to welcome listeners from 161 countries worldwide. Wow, what a week it has been. And of course, big news this week, of course, has been the iPad. And we'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. Got lots to talk about, lots of opinion, I'm sure, which most of you have already acquired your opinions. But I'll give you my 2 cents worth here a little later. Hey, I want to encourage all of you that are new to the show to sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter gets you all of the content that I'm going to talk about tonight, either shared by our listening audience via sending emails at geeknews@gmail.com or calling into our voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365, or the commentary I come up with and the articles that I cover. So basically, that newsletter has everything I'm going to cover in the show. And you'll definitely want to get subscribed to that so that you stay abreast of what's happening here at GNC. I have a short list of things to go over tonight, and actually I'm getting started with the show at a pretty decent time. Wanted to talk just a little bit about a survey results that I participated in today. Actually, I just attended the announcement of it. If you go over to the blog at blog.blueberry.com, I've got the video captured for essentially the survey many of you took, or the results of the survey many of you took. Today, Edison Research, and in conjunction with the Association for Downloadable Media, released their podcast consumer attitudes study. It was pretty intense information, lots of good data points, and for podcasters, this is a must-watch video. It's about an hour. There's lots of good stuff in there, and if you're a listener and you're kind of interested in what's going on in the podcasting space, you'll definitely want to check that out as well and see how you kind of compare to your peers. I know many of you participated in that survey, and I want to thank all of you for doing that back in November. It's going to give us invaluable information to move forward with finding new advertisers and a whole other bevy of possibilities based upon the information that was derived from this first ever nationwide survey that was really done in conjunction with Wizard Media, NPR, Raw Voice, and our family of podcasters, and Revision 3. So pretty, think about that, Raw Voice, Revision 3, NPR, Wizard Media, pretty good little group of sites. And of course, NPR is leading the way with new media. The folks at Revision 3 are doing a bang-up job with all their great video content over there. Wizard Media, of course, a great hosting company. And of course, Raw Voice and our 5,200 podcasters that we work with on a variety of advertising deals and so forth. So big audience reach across all those communities, and a great, basically a kind of a great subset of what of information based upon the answers that you guys put in there. So if you want to check that out, you can. Well, I went to dinner last night with my lovely 20-year-old daughter. I went to Gainesville, and if you've ever been to Gainesville, Florida, and been downtown, pretty nice little area. We ate at a place called Dragon what was it? It's on 2nd Street, Dragon something. Anyway, it was a sushi place. Pretty good for Florida, I guess. Couldn't complain about the food. It was pretty good and not too expensive. My lovely wife's calling on the phone. I have to call her back when I'm all done wrapped up. But spent some time with her. And, you know, we don't get a lot of face-to-face time. We talk on the phone, and often it doesn't go into a real deep conversation. And many times, how are you? How's school going? You know, how's your jobs? Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I learned a couple of things last night talking with her and some of the challenges she's having as a 20-year-old. And those of you parents out there that may have college age kids may understand maybe some of the challenges that or understand some of the challenges that she's facing going to school and working, you know, taking care of her car bills and her, you know, her insurance and cell phone and all the other stuff that goes along with you know, typical young adults these days. And I'm kind of looking for some advice. I think that her and I are going to have to do a lot more discussions here over the next couple of months because I'm just worried about her a little bit not being completely on track. And for any of you that are out there that have maybe facing the same situation with a 20-year-old, I don't want to go into too much details, but she's not real happy with going to school just because of the simple fact that you know, she's doing all these low-level classes and she feels like she's wasting a lot of time when she could be working. And I'm like, no, you know, the benefits of, you know, staying in school and everything else. It's not a money issue for tuition or anything, but she's just a little bit discouraged. So looking for any feedback from anybody. If any guys have any good resources, I'd love to get connected into that. I know this Ohana has a, you know, has a wide swath of kids in different age brackets and so forth. So looking to see if the Ohana can help the old geekster out here as I move forward, trying to mentor her and kind of steer her back into a get your education and get it knocked out. You know, that's the main thing. But anyway. Well, if you have any ideas or have any advice for me, I'd appreciate dropping me a note privately. That would be pretty cool. And also, I know many of you follow Natalie on Facebook. I kind of laughed as, you know, talking about the show a little bit. And she says, you know, she says, I get these people friend me on Facebook, and the only connection they have is through you. And as soon as, you know, I friend them, then I get a note from them saying, you know, where did, you know, you just definitely didn't get your good looks from your dad. You know, what's, because, and fellas, she's 20 and beautiful. And, just absolutely gorgeous. She really, really is. And I've just I'm checking out the boy situation, talking to her about that a little bit last night. And that's kind of weird, you know, to do as a father. But anyway, we had a good conversation about it. But she does say it's she feels it kind of odd that all of my listeners or a number of listeners friend her on Facebook, and she just kind of thought that was a little weird. So as I would expect, it probably is. I told her, well, you think it's weird, don't friend them back, you know. Well, anyway, had a good time with her and got back here, took care of my last day of consulting here in the Jacksonville area, and I pack up tomorrow to head back to Honolulu, and will be there through Thursday, which then Thursday night I fly out to go to back to Chicago for the weekend and come back to Honolulu on Monday. So what I'm going to do, I believe next week, is there will be a show as normal released Tuesday morning. And then there will be a show, instead of release Friday morning, I'm going to do the show Wednesday night for a Thursday release. So you'll have two shows, boom, boom, right in a row next week, so be aware of that. And then, of course, the following week, we'll be back on a regular schedule. I have a number of requests in from people that want to be copy editors. Actually, some people have sent me some emails with some actually sample edits, and that was pretty cool. So again, I just have not had time to deal with that at this point, but I'll be looking at that probably on the airplane on the way home and reaching out to some of those folks that actually contacted me. As well, we're still looking for bloggers for Geek News Central. I'm looking to add some bloggers, so if you're interested in blogging and getting your pen heard on geeknewscentral.com, drop me an email, and we'll discuss whether or not, you know, what area you want to cover. And again, there's no set to limits to what people post. It is a paid position. So I just let you know that, looking for bloggers at Geek News Central. Hey, want to make sure you check out the free magazines available on geeknewscentral.com. That's over in the third column of the website. And of course, I want to encourage you to support our sponsors here of the show. Got a lot of great content for you tonight. Of course, there's a stack of stuff about the iPad, along with a lot of other news as well. Surprisingly, yes, there has been other news today. And we'll get into all that commentary here in just a second. But first of all, hey, you know, GoDaddy, I was talking with my rep over there, and we're looking at some doing some cool things in February. And he wanted me to check out their new grid hosting. And I said, you guys got grid hosting? And he said, yeah. And I kind of had shared with him that we had moved one of our servers over to S3 because we needed more power than what was available through their standard server sets. And we were both kind of smacking each other in the head, basically saying, man, I just could have signed up for their grid hosting service. He says, well, go sign up for the beta and give it a try. And but I was playing around with it. You know, this is a great way for someone that is needing to have a little bit more oomph than a baseline shared hosting account, that might not be wanting to set up a virtual dedicated server, but maybe looking to have something that will scale with time. And they got a great introductory price, a beta price. I don't know how long this pricing is going to last, but you definitely want to check it out. It's a new service over at GoDaddy.com. It's their grid hosting beta. It's under the hosting section on their website. Don't know if the promo codes are going to work on that specific product or not, but no matter, if you're over there and you pick up a domain name or any other kind of server product or any other additional service, you'll definitely want to use my promo codes when you get to the checkout counter. Todd20 will save you 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will get you $7.49.com. A big thanks to GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor over here. I know we've got a number of listeners at GoDaddy that are fans of the show, and I want to just give a shout-out to all them and say aloha, and thanks for, you know, being part of the Ohana, not only a sponsor of the show. And as you know, we're all big, I'm big fans of the products and services over there. And GoDaddy's got some cool stuff coming. I think they got a Super Bowl commercial coming. They got a contest. I actually put some links in tonight's show notes. We'll link back to a contest they're having. And we're going to have a contest of our own tonight. Yes, I told you before, we would have limited number of contests during the year. But I think with the Apple iPad rolling out, we will have a contest. And because it's going to be such a significant value, it's going to go on for a few days or maybe a couple of weeks before we announce a winner. And I'll get into that here in a few minutes, so stay tuned, okay? All right, of course, we want to thank GoToMeeting as well for being a longtime sponsor and show. Really, GoToMeeting's best in class. During the Edison Research event today, it was hosted on Citrix GoToMeeting. I was pretty impressed with basically all the people that were in on the event. It was it worked flawlessly. And really, if you aren't using a web conferencing tool or service, you know, and if you're using one that's clunky or has used one that's clunky, you definitely want to try GoToMeeting. It is my first choice. GoToMeeting is the easiest to use. You can turn a call into an instant online meeting in just one click. Affordable. You can have as many meetings as you want for just $49 a month. It's very secure. It substantially reduced the meeting-related expenses. And basically, I attended this live event today, sitting right here in my hotel room. Didn't have to go anywhere. Didn't have to dial into anything. Reduced overhead related to meeting materials. And, of course, voice IPs included. Call in with your phone or your computer. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. And thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here. Link will be on the website. Fire it off. You can do it as well. As you guys know, for CES 2010, our sponsor for CES 2010 was GoToAssist. And while I don't talk about GoToAssist in this show too much, I do want to acknowledge that really the CES content that continues to go up on the website. Matter of fact, I'm a little behind because of having dinner with my daughter last night. All that content would not have been possible without the support of Citrix. Go to Assist Express. And if you're looking to start an IT tech business where you're doing support calls or actually supporting customers you may have, it's a great product. There, you just check out one of the CS videos. There's information there and actually a little demo I do at the end of the video. You definitely want to check that out. Thanks again for Citrix for supporting us during CES 2010. Okay, let me go ahead here and... Oh, someone said on the Ustream stat, wow, 15-second commercial for BlackBerry over the top of your broadcast. Well, that's kind of funny. They actually did it. How did they cover my face up the whole time? We want to welcome the folks who are on Ustream tonight, of course, as well, and of course, of all of our audience members that are downloading the show. And again, if you're a new subscriber, hey, subscribe to the podcast. That's the best way to get it, because you're able to get it automatically downloaded. You can do that via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, or your favorite multimedia player, whether it be your like BlackBerry or an Android. Plenty of applications out there to download podcasts. Please do so. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Apple iPad. I was just totally busy, and I was only able to watch maybe the first 15 minutes of the announcement of the Apple iPad. Lots of Gizmodo was on it, like Donkey Kong. They were putting up lots of pictures, and I'd talk with my client and I'd run back and refresh the computer screen and look through some more images. But last night when I got back to the hotel, I really took some time to read the commentary on a variety of websites. You know, I love the concept. I really do. I love the concept. And if you've been over to GNC, you'll see my picture of Steve Jobs holding up the four iPhones taped together to essentially make an iPad. And really, the more I look at this product, the more it looks to me like a iPhone that they have just taken and just stretched, made it bigger. That, to me, is what it really looks like. And, yeah, you can read books on it, and you can do movies, and you can listen to music, and you can do email. Well, I can do all that on my iPhone. I can do it on iPod Touch. And then the killer thing was, no multitasking. You're going to ask us to spend $500 for the baseline Wi-Fi model, or $499 for the baseline Wi-Fi model, and it doesn't have any multitasking? The thing I thought about when I first saw it was, man, that would be cool to be able to sit in my chair in my house without a laptop, having the iPad in front of me, or my wife have it in front of her, and be able to use the camera to use Skype to call her mom and have a video call. No camera. No camera in this thing. Now, to top it off, and we'll talk about no flash as well, there's no flash support. You can't go to YouTube and watch videos on it. You can't go to YouTube.com and watch flash videos. You can't come to Geek News Central and watch any of my CES content. You just can't. It's not available. No Verizon or T-Mobile. Of course, they say it's going to be open in foreign countries. People are mistaking that it's going to be open in the United States, but it's going to be open in foreign countries. But I'm going to be on AT&T again? Come, hello? Haven't you been reading what everybody's been saying about AT&T? No widescreen. It's only 4x3 mode. There's no HDMI out. And you know another thing? You're locked in. It's this ecosystem that is not open. It's all controlled by the App Store. There is no way that you're going to get any unapproved apps into it. You cannot load software on this. Well, that's right. You have an application? You cannot load software on this. This is a locked iPhone, just like an iPhone. It's all it is. Now, some people are raving, saying it's a great product. I must admit, the coolness factor makes me want to get one. But no multitasking is the biggest killer. It really, really is. You know, why is Apple so scared of multitasking? We know that Android phones have multitasking. And I get, chided by Angelo, my developer at Raw Voice, all the time for... his Android. Oh, I'm downloading your podcast while I'm surfing the internet at the same time. Can you do that? No, Can't do that with my iPhone. If I want to download a podcast, I have to start it and let the app run and run and run, and I can't do anything else while it's doing that. You're in a locked ecosystem. And boy, oh boy, the pundits have come out, the fanboys are there. So, there's lots. I'm going to just cover briefly some of the stuff those there's I'm going to have like 10 articles to link you to. If you haven't been on the internet, this will be basically kind of a wrap up of everything I think is worth repeating and talking about. You don't have to go through all these if you want to, but they're all going to be in the show notes. I'm sure you guys have been reading as much as I have about this already. But someone in the in the chat says not supposed to be an iPhone. It's not. It is an iPhone minus the calling. It's no different than an iPhone minus the calling. If someone tells me it's different than an iPhone minus a telephone, okay, so what? That's the only feature missing is calling. It does everything else an iPhone will do. You can look at pictures. You can look at video. Right? You can do email. Sure, it's not on a big screen, but they didn't do nothing really innovative here. They just repackaged an iPhone into a bigger product and took the calling out. I'm sorry. It's not what it's meant. No, thank you. For $729 or $829 for the 3G version when it comes out, plus another $29 a month. I already got an EVDO connection. Let me plug my EVDO card that I have right here. My EVDO card from Sprint. Let me go ahead. Actually, it's in my bag over here. Let me show you guys this. You let me plug this into it so I can surf the net when I'm somewhere when I'm not, then I'm good. Or let me plug my Verizon EVDO card into it, I'm good. I'm not paying another $29 for another connection fee for a device. It's not going to happen. The Kindle comes with internet connectivity, although limited. I can download books, so I'm going to use my Kindle, continue to use my Kindle. Matter of fact, it's charging right now. Do I need another device? Do I need my Kindle plus this? Or will this replace my Kindle? No. Books aren't going to be the same price. Books are going to be more near full price. So that what is the advantage? You're just locked in again to the ecosystem and the glass walls of Apple, who think they know best. And I don't. We'll see. I'd love to hear. You guys are going to have to send me feedback, okay? Over at TechCrunch, one of the writers said the iPad is like holding the future, but only because I graduated from iPhone school. Yeah, because it looks like an iPhone, but bigger. Okay. The quick and dirty answer is that for many people, this is not going to be a product that they're going to buy. The fanboys will, no doubt. I have no doubt that they're going to buy this. Now, whatever happened with the rumors about Verizon being a partner? Nope, nothing said about them. All quiet. The Apple is running on an A4 chip, and really what that is an NVIDIA Ion chip in disguise. You guys saw on my blog at Geek News Central, I just reviewed an NVIDIA Ion tablet that was pretty doggone awesome at CES. If you haven't seen that video yet, you go over and search for NVIDIA Ion, and then look at that device. It's running on almost the same exact processor as the A4 that's in the iPad. And go take a look. Go take a look at what I have on the NVIDIA Ion from the tablet that's coming from them, and then let me know whether or not you think this is going to be a so unique device. Okay? Go check it out. Please do. Now, people are complaining already that this is just a DRM monster. There's no free software, no installing apps from the web, no sharing music or books. They can remotely disable your apps and media. Okay? So if you go over by defectivebydesign.org, look what they have to say about the iPad being locked in. This is again more restrictions, hypocrisy of being open. Apple's being innovative and they're forcing you into their narrow view. Google's trying to do it too with the products they're releasing. So you're going to see a mass media war break out. it's really now for devices. You're going to see Google with their operating system going to be open and able to be developed to. And the iPad, which will have, we'll see. I may eat my words, but I don't think they're going to gain as much traction as other folks do. Now, the folks over at Adobe, they've spoke out about the flash emission. Here's what they say. Writing a blog post on Wednesday in the company's flash platform, Adobe Group Manager Adrian Ludwig wrote that there's something important missing from Apple's approach to connecting consumers to content when it comes to the company's new iPad. It looks like Apple's continuing to impose restrictions on their devices that limit both content, publishers, and consumers. He said that without flash support, iPad users will not be able to access the full range of web content, including over 70% of games and 75% of video on the web. He says it's no small omission. iPad users won't be able to connect to Disney, Hulu, Miniclip, Farmville, ESPN, Congrate, JibJab, not to mention the millions of other sites on the web that use flash. Ludwig's, and this is today, this is a statement, it was, everyone said, oh, it's going to have Adobe, it's going to have Adobe. No, it's not. What Apple's going to do is they're going to have some special development cycle where you're going to be able to, you know, have some form of video that's going to be displayed, but you have to adapt to their standards. So, it's big. Now, Adobe is working with more than 50 partners to help developers and content publishers bring their content to any device through the company's Open Screen project. And this is for consumers to have open access to the favorite interactive media content applications. You know how many video views we get on Geek News Central every day on the CES content? Tens of thousands of views a day that are flash-driven. Are they viewable on the iPhone? Nope. Are they viewable on the iPad? Nope. Are they viewable on a Mac Pro? Yep. Then how come they're not viewable on these other applications? Why? Why is Apple have such an issue? So anyway, Adobe's not happy. I'm not happy. And I'm sure many of you are not happy. Now, the hype cycle was definitely in effect. They're saying, the folks over at PC World saying that the Apple iPad event broke the internet. And Twitter was hammered. Sites, I was having problems getting pages to reload places. There was definitely a lot of traffic going into San Francisco. My mom even tried to watch the live stream event, and she said just it failed. It didn't work. She couldn't do it. So, you know, she had to kind of follow along later on. But overall, it's cool, pricey, and I truly believe they missed the mark on this one. I may be wrong. And initially, I thought I'm just going to run out and I'm going to order one. That's what I thought for the very first time I saw it. But after 24 hours and sitting down and really thinking about it and looking at what it doesn't have and what it's going to constrict, maybe I'll just wait for an Android tablet to come out that's open and something that can be a true friend to a geek and not something that continues to silo us into the Apple machine. All right, enough on the iPad. You guys have heard enough. Love to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is definitely open 24 hours a day. +1-619-342-7365. Okay, I see the Ustream chat's alive, and we'll talk about whatever's being chatted about at the end of the show. I'll go back and review everything. Already on Robin Good's website, social media meets online television. Social TV brings television 2.0 to your TV set. What did I tell you? I told you guys this is the next big thing, right? You're going to have all kinds of cool stuff embedded in your television sets. Hey, if you're getting ready to buy a new TV, just wait. Do some research. Lots of stuff going on right now that's going to really change the face of the sets that you buy. And this is a good article over on masternewmedia.org. I have it linked up. It's talking about social television, talking about the emergence of the new TV 2.0 ecosystem. implications of social TV, talking about TV widgets, set-top boxes that have, like the Roku and so forth, social TV features, etc., you know, doing stuff on Facebook, on your television set, and so forth. So I have this link up in the show notes. It's very cool. Hey, today I had about a 45 minutes discussion with a professional boxy developer out in San Francisco. We're going to have another meeting with him next week, and we're starting to going to start working towards getting all of Raw Voice's content partners' content up on the Boxy and the Roku and so forth. It's one of my goals this year to be there so that you guys, when you have whatever set you may have, a Pop Box, a Roku, whatever it may be, that you can find our content and enjoy it from the comforts of your easy chair and your remote control. And I know you'll want to watch me through the web just like this too, so okay, whatever. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Netflix. Netflix is celebrating its Q4 success of 1 million new subscribers. And, of course, eyes bigger growth ahead for Roku with the goal. And I don't know if we talked about this on the last show or not, but they want to introduce 100 channels by year's end. And our goal is to be one of those channels on the Roku box. So we'll keep moving forward and letting you know how that development's going. If you are a developer, I'm looking for developers. I'm looking for developers that can integrate our content into the Roku API and building apps for those devices. If you're looking for a job, I'm hiring. So send me an email over at Raw Voice at CEO@rawvoice.com. And, of course, as well, we're still looking for more mobile app developers as well. So if you're into that as well, hey, got a job for you. I'm just looking for people that are serious, though, that want to crank on some code, because I've got a very aggressive schedule here for the first quarter of 2010, and we're already a month in. So drop me an email. Okay, talk about Samsung's. Oh, you know what I didn't do? Glad you hung out. I'm going to give away an iPad. That's right. I'm going to give away an iPad. So what you got to do is you got to do a couple things, all right? This is a multifaceted contest. You have to Twitter that @GeekNews is giving away an iPad and put in the link to geeknewscentral.com, okay? And people are going to have to, in order to win, they have to be following me on Twitter, okay? So a little open bribery there to follow. And you have to send me an email with your link to your Twitter post. Basically, you know, say something nice. You don't have to say exactly what how I said it, but you can just say, hey, Todd over at Geek News Central, @GeekNews, giving away an iPad, or how many words fit. You guys make it work, and do an @GeekNews in there, and then, you know, just send them over to the website. Just want people to get the word out on that. Basically, the way I'm going to work it is, and I'll have to put some little post up on the website, is you got to be following. Got to be following to win. So I don't know if you want to put that in your Twitter post or not, but you have to be following me in order to win. So we're going to have that running for a couple of weeks and be giving away. Yeah, we could do any hash needed, Todd. Should we do a hash? Someone asked me on the Usteam chat room. Let's see here. Just do GNC iPad. Yep, that'll be the hashtag, GNC iPad. Okay. And I'll search for them. Don't matter. But the main thing is just @GeekNewsMe when you actually Twitter that. But the goal is definitely I want people to follow. And, you know, we're trying to bring in some new listeners to the show. And or maybe you just tell them, hey, you have to listen to win. Okay? So you can tell I put a lot of thought into this contest, right? So I'll solidify that at the end of the show. All right, Microsoft's net profit soars to $6.6 billion. Microsoft said Thursday that second quarter net profit soared 60% to $6.66 billion on record high revenues driven demand for Windows 7 operating system. Microsoft also reported that its revenue surged of 14% to $19.02 billion in fiscal quarter that ended in December 31st. So they're having having a good year, still putting a profit for the stockholders. So good to see Microsoft turn a profit there. Hey, the Electronic Frontier Foundation has revealed how your digital fingerprint makes you easy to track. The EFF has launched a new web app dubbed the Panoptic Click. That's the Panoptic Click. Boy, that's a big word there. But anyway, I have the link into it in the show notes. It reveals just how easily it is to identify you out of the millions of web users. Anyway, this is a pretty cool app. I was playing around with it a little bit. And you don't have to have a cookie on your browser really for people to kind of get a handle for you. Get a handle on who you are and where you're at. And this is pretty scary stuff. If you definitely check this out, have the link up in the show notes. And the EFF is just doing this as a demonstration on what turning off cookies really mean. And I'm actually getting a call from Jeff Hines right now, my content director. He's going to have to wait as well. It's everyone's. Hey, Jeff, it's showtime. And we haven't had any crank calls tonight yet, so we'll see if those come in later. All right, copyright damage is out of control. $51 million for satellite cracking app. This is nuts. This is over on Tech Dirt. $51 million was awarded. This is a Dish and another satellite TV provider called Nagrastar awarded $51 million. Wow. For this company, this guy that was putting software on the internet that allowed people to unlock Dish Network programming on unauthorized receivers. So 51, I think he's got the money to pay this. This guy did not actually do the accessing of the unauthorized signal or breaking any encryption. He just provided the tools to do this, and he's been charged. He's been made to pay or told to pay $51 million for creating the application itself. Pretty nuts. Hey, there's an interview with a convicted 419 scammer. I'll have the link up to this, but over at scam-detectives.co.uk, they published a two-part interview with a convicted Nigerian 419 scammer. This guy's supposed name is John. Talks about his experience of how he scammed victims and how he gained their trust and confidence to part them of their money. Anyway, go check that out. And can you believe people are still falling for that? You just wouldn't think that would happen at this point in time. This is like the oldest scam on the internet at this point. Now, this is a big one. Now, how many of you homeschool your kids? A U.S. judge today has granted political asylum to a family who said that they have fled Germany to avoid persecution for homeschooling their children. I've got this over on Slashdot. A German couple moved to Tennessee after German authorities fined them for keeping their children out of school and sent police to escort them to class. So a U.S. judge has said that homeschoolers in Germany are a particular social group, which is one of the protected grounds under the asylum law. Didn't we used to like give people asylum if they were going to get like shot by someone in their country? And if you look at the many states are very negative to homeschoolers. They really are. There's even like this homeschool legal defense fund that most homeschool parents belong to, and they come to the United States and they actually got asylum. What do you guys think about this? Well, they were being persecuted, obviously, in Germany, but giving them asylum—that's huge. Now, that'll be the loophole people start using to get in the country. Oh, I had my kids in homeschool and I was being persecuted. I want political asylum, please. So, hey, better get here before that loophole closes. If you're a foreign listener and you want to come to the United States, that's that's a quick route to your green card, okay? They need to do this in Japan. Japan's population is declining, and they have a big problem of a lot of old people, not so many young people, and we're going to, reach that stage here in the United States soon too with the baby boomer phase. But Japanese need to start allowing some people to start immigrating to the country because otherwise they not enough people to pay taxes. We may be in that situation here in the United States before too long as well. Hey, I wonder if that'd work there. Probably not. All right, FCC's net neutrality plan blocks BitTorrent. The FCC formally issued a draft net neutrality regulations that have a huge copyright loophole in them. This loophole would theoretically permit Comcast to block BitTorrent, just like it did in 2007, simply by claiming that it was reasonable network management intended to prevent unlawful transfer of content. The new proposed net neutrality regulations will allow the same practices that net neutrality was first invoked to prevent. Even these ISP practices end up inflicting collateral damage on perfectly lawful content and activities. This is straight out of the folks over at Slashdot. Lots of conversation about this, but you definitely need to comment on these draft net neutrality regulations. This is not good, and they could shut down peer-to-peer, which has many legal utilizations. If this goes through, Comcast and other networks could just arbitrarily block peer-to-peer. All right, let's switch gears here a little bit and talk a little bit about science. And this is big. This is probably the biggest science news that I've heard in a long, long time. A laser fusion test has raised energy hopes dramatically. I won't go into the mumble jumble of it, but all I can say is that there have been doubts in the past that by using lasers for fusion energy because they were worried about plasma that would be created by using the laser. It could interrupt the fusion process. Well, they were able to use a laser that has smashed the record for the highest energy from a laser by a factor of about 20. And really what they've done is they hit this article, and I'm not even going to the science of what the article was, for like a tenth of a second, and it the energy emitted from it grew stronger than what the laser power was by a significant factor. Basically, in that tenth of a second, there was enough energy, they said, to boil off a couple liters of water. So that gives you a kind of an indication of the energy derived. And they said if they were able to let this go for a second, for a whole second, there would have been enough energy created to boil off a couple of like Olympic-sized swimming pools. So you think about just hitting it with a laser. Now, it's a pretty powerful laser, but the energy generated was significantly greater than the power of the laser. Now, that is huge. That's very, very important because it doesn't make sense to use more energy to get the fusion effect than it does, you know what I mean? It's, if you have a negative coefficient, it's not good. So the scientists are like ecstatic. They're going nutso. They're saying, and this is pretty scary. Well, in a sense, it's scary, but at the same point, this scientist says, "I can't overstate how dramatic a step this is," he told the BBC News. "Many people a year ago were saying the project would be dead by now, and adding momentum to the Ignition Quest, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories announced on Wednesday that since the science results were first attained, the pulse energy record had been smashed again, and they haven't released that. Well, actually, they say now report an energy of 1 megajoule on target was 50% higher than the same amount reported in the Science Journal." So, the current calculations show that about 1.2 megajoules of energy will be enough for ignition, in other words, fusion. And currently, NIF can run as high as 1.8 megajoules, so they know they can get to that level. But what they have to do is they got to add shielding and stuff to the experimental area, so when they hit this baby and they go over critical mass and actually obtain fusion, and this is fusion, that the neutrons released from that won't kill everybody. So he says it's going to happen this year. So this is exciting stuff. It really, really is. These guys are pretty blown away by what they have accomplished. And I guess this plasma effect that they were worried about isn't such an issue. All right, stratospheric water vapor is a global warming wild card. There's an article over on insciences.org, talking about how a 10% drop in water vapor 10 miles above the Earth's surface has had a big impact on global warming. A research and a study published on January 28th in the Journal of Science says that global surface temperature has not risen as fast as they had expected because of the drop in water vapor. Now, in the 70s, there was an increase in water vapor, and this is, I guess, a thin line about 10 miles above the Earth, where the temperatures on the surface were increasing at a higher rate than that was expected when the water vapor was high. They can't explain why this decrease has happened, but they say that this water vapor could have a dramatic effect on global warming, so it has to be thrown into the equation of all this stuff that they're looking at with greenhouse gases and all that other stuff, blah, blah, blah. So for those of you that are interested in greenhouse gases and global warming, this will be a link for you in the show notes. All right, over on eWeek.com, hey, the Black Hat Conference is coming up here. It's going to be in D.C., of course. The D.C. Security Cons next week is going to feature security engineer Nicholas Serrat, and he's putting a spotlight on security and privacy issues involving third-party applications developed by the iPhone. I'm sure we're going to get to see next week how our privacy is being violated for those of us using an iPhone. So I have this link up from the show notes. We'll see what comes out of that event next week. And I think my neighbor in the hotel, I hear his voice real loud. Maybe he's not happy with me speaking so loud. Okay, over on computerworld.com, manage your reputation online, five essential tools. And I'm looking at these. There's Addict-O-Matic. Don't know what this does, but what it does, I guess it looks at Bing, Google, blog search, Twitter, YouTube, Dig, Flickr, friend feed, blog links, and many other sites. And you put your name in there and see what people are saying about you. There's a site called Social Mention. There is TweetBeep. We actually talked about TweetBeep in a previous show. Yosinny is a new one that I haven't heard of. Yosinny is a people search engine that provides an overview of someone's associated networks, including contacts, pictures, and other public available information. So there's some links that you can go check yourself and see how you're doing in your online reputation and what's being said about you online. All right, Comcast has told the FCC that broadcast TV will survive the NBC deal. They promised that they're going to continue to provide free over-the-air broadcasting and share programming fairly with competitors after it takes over General Electric Company's NBC Universal unit. It goes on to say the joint venture will promote the public interest by increasing the quantity and quality of video programming on the largest U.S. cable company, said today in a filing to the FCC, wanting the FCC to approve the merger. So those of you that are on antennas, do you trust Comcast? Does everyone think that Comcast is really going to keep all of those broadcast units on the air? You know, I remember when I was a kid, it was NBC, ABC, CBS. That was all I could get. And then you would get some church channels and what else? That was all I could get when I was a kid on a tower out in the country. So, you know, I think Fox is now broadcasting as well in some areas. And, of course, you still have some of the, like, home network channels and stuff like that that are. But hang on just a second. Honey, I'm doing my show. I'll call you back. So anyway, what do you guys think? Do you think Comcast is going to live up to the word, or do you think it's the, you know, the NBC Universal's broadcast units or days are numbered? Only time will tell. All right, let me go ahead and go in. There's an article over here on the BBC talking about broadband usage in the UK. It says the majority of broadband users in the UK pay for download limits that they come nowhere near reaching. The majority of broadband users in the UK pay for download limits that they come nowhere near reaching, according to a survey. And it says that found that 3/4 of those on unlimited broadband packages downloaded just 20 gigs of content per month. Half downloaded less than 10 gigs, and they said they could save over £100 a year by downgrading their service, it said. Now, the thing is, though, most people have no idea how much traffic they use. There's no meter. How can they tell? You know, so I'm sure that's part of the challenge. I know that I use more than 20 gigs every 3 or 4 days. I know I use a lot of broadband bandwidth, but a lot of people I know probably don't. Hey, remember Google said that they were broken into and there was intellectual property stolen and they thought it was an inside job and they used social networking to gain access to Google proprietary information? Well, today, Google's sister launched in China, a new search engine and social network provider called Googie, G-O-O-J-J-E, has appeared online in China. And you know, it looks just like Google. Ha, 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 ha. Interesting. A brand new site, brand new search engine, looks just like Google, but it's GOOJJE. And there's a kind of cute little paw right where the one G is supposed to be. It's like, I'm stepping on you, Google. I'm sure China will be very quick to shut that website down. This is crazy. This is something. Oh yes, Google is now being run by the Chinese state agency with their own code. Yeah, could have Google lost the crown jewels in this hacking attack? That would be something. That really, really would. Now, if any of you have had your computers on since Monday, you know that there was a slew of updates that went out. And you got a big patch release this week. If you haven't updated your computer, please do. There's a lot of day zero hacks out there for some of these patches that have been, some of these things that have been patched. Make sure you get your updates to Windows 7. All right, the FCC is demanding data on cell phone ETFs from everyone, including Google. And so ETF, of course, are early transmission, early termination fees. And so the commissioners have asked for data on this from all of them, including Google. So I'm sure the FCC is going to be digging around here and probably come out with a ruling on these early termination fees. All right, sad news on Mars. We have to have a moment of mourning here, probably a word of silence. NASA has decided to essentially stop trying to get Spirit out of the dirt. As you know, Spirit has been stuck in, essentially in a sand trap now for over a year. And we know that Spirit had only been operating with only five of its six wheels for several years now. And NASA has now decided it's best to simply orient it to soak up as much sun as it can during the Martian winter. And they're going to just leave it there and collect whatever science they can. So we'll see what happens. Assuming the rover survives, NASA's going to try to use the rover for two experiments: long-term monitoring of changes in nearby soils, with the possibility of detecting some sort of water cycle and providing fine-grained positional information that will allow researchers to detect wobbles in Mars' rotation, which can be used to infer details of the planet's interior. Neither of these was possible when six functional wheels gave it its handlers the imperative to drive. So now it's just stuck in the mud, and it rolled around for a long time, and I think we have to give Spirit a hand clap here. It's done a great job. Opportunity is on the other side of the planet, of course, and it's drilling and working away. They've got it employed doing science still. You know, many kids that are in kindergarten right now were not alive when the rovers landed. And it's pretty amazing. We made some great, great robots there. We really, really did. But Spirit is at its final resting position, and hopefully it will survive long enough to get a lot more science out of it before it finally fails. One more thing on Netflix. They've been warning the FCC that there's some loopholes in the net neutrality laws or rules that they're worried about. Netflix is concerned that network operators will use a so-called managed service clause in network neutrality to essentially block companies like Netflix and other folks. So I have a link up to this in the show notes for you to check out. Endeavour is cleared for launch. Shuttle managers Wednesday gave the approval for plans to launch the Space Shuttle Endeavour on February 7th. This is the last planned night launch for the shuttle program. I thought there was didn't they say there was the last night launch once before? Okay. I guess not. Endeavour will, and at night launches are best. It's going to go down at 4:39 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you're going to have to get out of bed or watch it on replay. This is STS-130, and they're taking the final U.S. modules for the station. The Tranquility Node and its crew will perform three spacewalks to perform work outside the space station, and this mission is the first of five shuttle missions planned for 2010 before the shuttle is retired. Okay, last article of the night before we get into voicemails and into email comments. White House announced today, after weeks of rumors of substantial changes to NASA's future space exploration programs, White House and NASA officials said late Wednesday that the agency's budget would be increased, but the number of existing programs would be altered or canceled. Officials told the newspaper Florida Today and Orlando Sentinel that NASA's budget would be increased by an average of $1.3 billion a year for the next 5 years. Some of the funding would be used to extend the ISS to 2020 and also go towards a $6 billion program to develop commercial crew transportation system to ferry astronauts to and from the International Space Station. Now, this is going to blow you away. However, the currently planned Ares 1 and Ares 5 rockets would be canceled. Huh? I thought the Ares rocket series was what was going to get us back into space. I don't get it. Am I wrong? Or were they going to use a different rocket system to get us back in space? Why are they throwing money away like that? Don't we still need heavy lift capacity? I don't get it. I don't. And someone said on here, word of science? Yeah. Toddism for today, Jeffrey. I'm reading the chat on Ustream. Okay, that's it for regular show commentary tonight, and we're going to go ahead and get right into the voicemail here. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotlines, +1-619-342-7365. Let me turn the volume up here. Here comes our first voicemail, or actually our one and only voicemail of the night. Here we go.
Hey, Todd, this is Clint calling from Houston. Looking forward to the big announcement from Apple on Wednesday, like everybody else in the geek world is. Anyway, what do you think it is? What I think it is, it's going to be some kind of a book reader, some type of video player, or ultimately what it's going to be.
Hey, Clint. Sorry, I just cut you off, dude. I think we already know what it is now, right? I know you were speculating what it was. Please call back and tell me what you think now. And just remember to make sure you get the calls in before I roll the show out at 8 Eastern. But anyway, Clint's down in Texas, and he calls the show regularly. But let me know what you think about the new iPad. Of course, I went on and on for a while tonight. What else is there to be said, right? All right, let me go ahead here and actually get into the email for tonight. I got an email from Lamar. He said, hey, Todd, I have the iPhone 3G, but I'm waiting patiently for an iPhone that will work on many or any networks. AT&T really stinks. I agree. It's, but it's all we can do right now. All we got to do is wait, right? Got an email from Robert. Robert, you're way behind. He said, Todd, in GNC 492 last year at around the 50-minute mark, how do you remember that? Did you just listen to this? Anyway, at around the 50-minute mark, you mentioned the $18 million government grant to Smartronics to revise the recovery.gov website. He said, I'd bet a team of developers from your listening audience could create one heck of a website for a fraction of that cost of taxpayers. A brand new government website would be a better opportunity to incorporate new media into a proposal for such a product. Something like the Earmarks website proposed in President Obama's State of the Union speech. Tonight, I'm calling on Congress to publish all earmark requests on a single website before there's a vote so that the American people can see how their money is being spent. Didn't you know that, Robert, that they promised that they would show all of legislation and everything online 72 hours before any vote? Didn't you know that was already promised to us? He goes on to say, one way to incorporate new media channels would be to include a few $100,000 for promoting the main website via podcast advertising. I don't know if the government can actually advertise on podcasts or not. They mostly do public awareness announcements or public messages. I don't know if they can actually advertise or not. Maybe they can. I guess the Navy does and the Army, so obviously they can buy advertising. Okay, anyway, going on. And since I've been creating an application layer to facilitate cross-platform development on mobile devices, the iPhone, iPod, and Androids only so far, I'd be interested in seeing the earmark information published via free downloads in the Android market and iPhone iPad store. Your contribution would be to find someone familiar with government grants to write their proposal for the project, and if by chance that proposal was successful, you would need to recruit a project manager and promote the openings for development team members. Rob, you know something? When it comes to political stuff, I already come too close to the line about talking that stuff as it is now. I don't know if that would be a good angle for this show to go down. Quite frankly, I do not have the time to even consider doing such a venture, but it does have merit, and maybe there's some listeners of the show that would like to see more openness and transparency, would have some ideas about this. Now, we've already been promised that we're supposed to see all this information, you know, before votes anyway. I think we would be better, we'd spend our time better trying to get them to put that on as they had promised with the taxpayer dollars that have already been spent, as I said in show number 492, for, you know, exposing earmarks. I don't know. It's a good idea. Love to hear anyone else's feedback on this and see if Rob's idea is worth pursuing. And I have no clue when it comes to writing government grants or anything like that. That is way beyond anything that I'm familiar with. And but there might be a group of people that would be willing to work together, a bunch of techies who would want to put something together. And the key to any government grant or any government system is make sure there's a lady running the company. That way you get more points when you're going to get your application reviewed. I do know that. I got an email from Trucker Tom. He says, hey, Todd, here's a video about a display technology that allows 3D without glasses. I'll have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check that out. Thanks, Tom, for that. Got an email here from Benjamin. It says, hey, new tools are emerging to help newspapers and magazine sites keep people from leaving their pages to look up related topics on Google and Bing. If you're researching different methods that content publishers are using to increase engagement and drive revenues, hope you consider a demo and interview with Mash Logic. Mash Logic has developed two semantic tools in particular, ToStay and ToGo, designed to help online publishers give their readers the additional information they want without consulting a search engine. Interested in a demo with the founders? Thanks, Ben. And I hope this was disguised as a PR. This guy doesn't reveal that he's a PR guy. But he comes. Are you a listener of the show, Ben? Anyone know anything about Mash Logic? Anyway, they just got some free exposure here on the show. Snuck it by me. You did. Yes, you did. I got an email from Jane. Hey, Todd, check out the books I added. Goodreads. My literary website is Austin, AUSTEN.com, which is a source for much fan fiction and Jane Austen news. And she has that linked up. I'll have that link up for you in the show notes. Also got a email from Trucker Tom. Again, National Vehicle History Database goes live. A national database that allows consumers to view the history of used vehicles went into effect this year, but federal officials said Tuesday that some states are not contributing vehicle records to the system. Oh, this is cool. You can actually get information about vehicles without having to go to, what is that, Carfax or something, like Carfax, that you pay like $20 for a report. So insurance requires our all states, insurance carriers, and junkyards require to submit data on vehicles to the system, and states will comply by January 1st. The District of Columbia and four other states, Oregon, Illinois, Mississippi, and Kansas, have yet to submit records saying they don't have enough money for the computer upgrades and clerical work needed to take part. And the Justice Department says they're working with the states. So even without their participation, roughly 80% of registered vehicles in the United States are included. Very, very cool. Thanks, Tom, for that. Also got a email from, actually I saw this too. After 3 months, only 35 subscribers for Newsday's website. You guys know about this Newsday newspaper in New York? Only 35 paid subscriptions. Isn't that crazy? You think New York Times is going to get very many subscriptions when they go pay only? Or you got an email from Martin. He says, hey, Todd, I own a TomTom, and it's correct that the TomTom collects data each time you sync. There are settings in the TomTom software that lets you opt out of sending data to TomTom. It's enabled by default, so you have to opt out. But I can tell you that there is a data setting in the software. Martin. Thanks, Martin, for that. So those of you that have a TomTom, it just lets you know when you're syncing your GPS, be aware that it is sending data back to TomTom unless you have turned that off. I got an email from Charles that, hey, Todd, I know you're very much behind listening to podcasts today. I heard you read out my email asking for help in setting an e-commerce site for our small business. Okay, everyone pay attention here. This Charles is looking for a web developer to help him launch an e-commerce site for a small business. He goes on to say, now I know why there have not been any replies. I had been Toddism. Is that a word? Yes, it is. It's in the dictionary now, Charles. Don't worry. My email address is hex, H-E-X, inverter, I-N-V-E-R, T-E-R, hexinverter at gmail.com, not hexinventor, hexinverter, inverter at gmail.com, which most likely explains the lack of context. In any case, the offer still stands. I do appreciate your help. The videos from CS were great. There are a couple of items that I can see would be useful and require further investigation on my part. Thanks to you and the whole team for your videos. It also goes out to the wives and families of the team who put up with the craziness. Charles, thanks, Charles. Appreciate that. I got a longtime listener, Bree, of the show, sent me an email. It says, Todd, I work for the Chief Information Officer of the General Service Administration, Miss Casey Coleman. She was on a United flight a couple of days ago, and see what happened. You guys got to read this. If not, this ought to freak you guys out. All I'm going to say is someone tried to open a door. I'll have a link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. That's it. That's all the email for this show. All right, folks, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1 619 342 7365. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for putting up with me being here in Florida. And we'll be back in the studio Monday night for, of course, a live show at Honolulu Standard Time. So those of you been coming in and watching me on Eastern, if you want to watch the show, you got to stay up later. But don't worry, the show will be available for download via the RSS feed, or you can watch it on the website directly or listen directly. So let me go again over the iPad giveaway. Go to Twitter and let them know that I'm giving away an iPad to people that follow me and retweet. We'll do a random drawing in a couple of weeks. All I gotta do is listen to win as well. We'll add some extra kind of goodies in here. So again, they gotta follow me on Twitter. They have to reply with my @geeknews with the information about the that I'm giving away an iPad. They can use a #GNCiPad, #GNCiPad. I'll formalize that information on the show notes today. And we'll give away an iPad, and it's going to be the lowest priced one. This will be the one item that I give away on a quarter. This will be the one giveaway this quarter. And again, we'll let this run for a couple of weeks, and one lucky listener will get one of these. I'm not going to buy one for myself. So anyway, that's it for now, and we'll be back with you on Monday. Everyone have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks to the Ohana for being part of the family. And back to Hawaii. I'm really looking forward to getting home. Lots to do, catch up with the kids and everything else. And that's it. Everyone take care and aloha.